Let's go to our message now this morning. And praise the Lord for, I'm going to do some housekeeping. So, do y'all know preachers that clean when they preach? Amen. Just crazy me, right? I'm scared I'm going to hit something. Anyway, Chasing the Wind is the title of the little series we're in. We're in a study of the book of Ecclesiastes. We won't look at every single verse. I can tell you the gist of the book is chasing the wind. The word wind, the word vanity rather, he says it's vain, vain, all is vanity. The word means wind, it means breath. Everything is just like a bunch of hot air. When you get out there and start searching for meaning, apart from God, it's all a bunch of smoke, man. It's not the real deal. It's chasing the wind. So let's look at our message today. We have titled this message today, Turn, Turn, Turn. Turn, turn, turn. Last week we saw and we sang about Solomon. Solomon said, I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no what? Satisfaction. All right, that's what we sang. We did last week. And that's what he said. Didn't he say that? Didn't the book say that? He tried it all. Let's look. Come on. Let's keep moving. He said, I tried it all. It left me empty. Tried everything I could. Came up empty, man. Came up short. He said, I felt like I was chasing the wind. Just a endless search. Turn, turn, turn. Tick, tick, tick. Tock, tock, tock. Drip, drip, drip. It's the way it was. He just couldn't get any satisfaction at all. And he wrote, and God allowed him to write this book to us so that we could see what that search for meaning is like. And when you go after down every rabbit trail and it comes up empty, God allowed Solomon to write this book. By the way, the book of Ecclesiastes is also called the Book of Errors. E-R-R-O-R-S. Why is it called the Book of Errors? Because when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, there's all kinds of errors in it. Now, I'm not meaning that it's not the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, but it's Solomon talking, and a lot of what he's saying is wrong. Because he is depressed, he is down, he is defeated. And how many have known when you've been down, you've been depressed, you've been defeated, you weren't thinking real straight, were you? Is that when you were at your best, giving your best advice? Uh-uh. And God is a big enough God, and He can handle it. If people criticize what he allows to be in the Word of God, God shows it just like it is. And he showed this man the way he was. And it's a help to us. However, reading this book, and Joy will tell you, I read this book, I keep reading this book, it's about to depress me. I'm telling you. It's a depressing book. A man looked for everything, had it all. Wasn't worth a dime. It's depressing. Let's keep looking. He said, turn, turn, turn. That's what this book was about. He was the wisest and wealthiest man, and there was nothing that he could not experience. He could do anything he wanted to do. We'll look at the scripture again. We showed it to you last week. 1 Kings 3, 12 and 13. Behold, God speaking, I have done according to thy words. God blessed this man early in his life before he turned away from God. He said, lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart. So there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like thee. Nobody's ever been like Solomon. He had the blessing and wisdom of God on him like nobody's business. He said also, I've given you that which you did not ask for. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you honor so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So he could do anything he wanted. He could go down any road he wanted. And he went down them. We talked about it last week. He tried wisdom, pleasure, comedy, alcohol, real estate, some gardening. Get me some staff, some personnel. Buddy, he had it. Riches. He said, I'll get me a band. Put a band together. That didn't fly. He said, I'll find satisfaction in what other people think of me, my reputation. I'll get all the education in the world. Power! Biggest, baddest army, and it was funny, for 60 years, when he reigned, it was peaceful. He couldn't even use his army. Totally frustrated this man was. Sex. And I put it up again, the scripture again. 1 Kings 11:3. He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, so 1,000 women at his disposal. And what's the Bible say? His wives turned away his heart. That's not to say it wasn't his fault. He did it. God told him not to do this. Don't go down that trail. But he did it anyway. and his heart got turned away from God. And this is the journey that he's been on. His heart is away from God. He's wondering. He's out there. He can find no satisfaction whatsoever. Life is just turn. And it's miserable. Let's keep moving. Nothing satisfied his longing for real purpose and meaning. He couldn't find it. Nothing. Nothing at all. In Ecclesiastes 2:17, he said, I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. All is vanity. All is like chasing the wind and vexation of spirit. He said, I hated my life. You know what people usually do a lot of times when they get here? They do something crazy, don't they? And you get depressed like this so low. I mean, he was there. He also says, in the next verse, 18, he said, I hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. I mean, this man had the money to do great exploits, great kingdoms, buy this, buy that, have it all, baby. He looked at everything he did, and he said, I hate it. Everything I've done. I hate my labor. He was disturbed, to say the least. Amen. The guy was disturbed. He was also this. He was agitated. Can you say that with me? He was agitated. Have you ever been agitated? How many been agitated with your children? How many been agitated with your husband? Oh, stop it! Young, quit that. It's awful. Anyway, he was agitated. Ecclesiastes 2:20. He says, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. I went about. He got so in such a funk that he went about just seeing how much more miserable he could make himself feel. That's what it was all about. Why? Why was it turn? Why was he feeling this way? And we're getting to the message now. We're trying to set it up. He felt this way because of the vicious cycles of life. Life, have you ever noticed it? Days just keep passing, don't they say? I mean, they just keep going. You ain't anything you can do to stop it, is it? Say, things just happen. How many things have happened in your life or happened in your world and you just couldn't control any of it? You could see it was bad, but it just wouldn't stop. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't believe it. The vicious cycles of life. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm the king. I got all the money. I got all the wisdom. I can't stop anything. He was going nutso. Here we go. Life is just repetitious. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Keep going. It's Chinese water torture. Drip, 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 drip. I mean, this is how the man, this is how he's living his life. Drip, drip. If that's the way you want to live your life, you're going to be miserable. You know what I'm saying? Turn. Let's look at the scripture today. Ecclesiastes 3:1-9. I differ with a lot of people who say, oh, this is a beautiful passage. It is beautiful. But it was written by a man who was pretty near out of his mind. This wasn't meant to be pretty. Think about it. It wasn't meant to be pretty. You think he's writing about his miserable life and all of a sudden, no, I believe I'll write something pretty. No. He says this, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Look at the vicious cycle. A time to be born. Say it with me. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. How many used to have a garden? It's great in our farm. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's good out there planting that stuff. But that plucking it up ain't no fun, is it, say? And you got to do it. A time to kill. Help me now. A time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. A vicious cycle. Drip, drip, drip. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance. A time to cast away stones. Time to go get them stones. Amen. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to get. A time to lose. How many thinks that's fun? Ain't no fun. Here we keep going. A time to keep. A time to cast away. Keep moving. A time to rend. A time to sow. A time to keep silence. A time to speak. A time to love. A time to what? Hate. A time of war. A time of peace. Here's the gist. What profit hath he that works in that wherein he's labored? It's a vicious cycle. And there is no profit at all. That's how he's feeling. It reminded me of a song. And I went way back to the 60s, 1965. A song sung by the Byrds. And here he comes from the 60s himself. Fabian. Come on, Fabian. Let's welcome Fabian. Come on, Fabian. Now, Fabian, my microphone cord's all messed up. Come on over here. How about let's use the other one? Let's use the one that's designed. Are you ready? Okay, we're ready, Fabian. Come on. There's got to be more to life than this. Here was Solomon. He was chasing the wind. And guess what? He could never catch it. He could never catch it. He could never, he couldn't catch it. And you're not going to catch it either. I thought about what do I mean and what do I think when I say, and when God's Word talks about it here, chasing the wind. I put up some things. Here we go. What is chasing the wind? What is just turn, turn, turn? What is this? What is this? What is chasing the wind? Let's go with it. Number one. Chasing the wind is viewing this life as all that really matters. Are you with me? You agree with that? I mean, do you agree that that's what chasing the wind is, though? That's just chasing the wind. You agree with me? If this is life is all there is, that's all really matters. Isn't that just chasing the wind? Amen? Number two. Chasing the wind is doing. So we got viewing, and now we got doing. Chasing the wind is doing all you can, getting all you can, while you still can. That's chasing the wind. Doing all you can, getting all you can, while you still can. It's chasing the wind. You're going to be disappointed. One day you're going to die. Hate to tell you that. It's not good news. It's going to happen. Keep looking. Chasing the wind is thinking. It's all about me. And if I'm going to get her done, it's up to me. Now look, I'm all for personal responsibility. And you're right. In a lot of ways, you got to work and you got to go work. And things are going to happen. It's going to take you doing stuff. Absolutely. But let me tell you something. It's not all about you. And it's not all up to you. There is a God in heaven who loves you, wants to have a relationship with you, who wants to come alongside you and help you. Amen? This isn't all there is. Chasing the wind is living. Living my life according to what I feel and what I think, this is reality to me. That's chasing the wind. If you live your life only by your feelings, if you live your life only by what you think and nobody else, no help from God, no help from God's Word, you're going to lose. It's chasing the wind. You're never going to catch it. As bright a bulb as you're shining, it ain't that bright. You hear me now? Chasing the wind is trusting in yourself. Because you're the only one who can really be trusted. You trust in you. Because really you've been let down. You've been hurt. Something's happened in your life. You are the only one you can count on. Because there is no one else you can trust. And you will not trust anybody else. You're going to trust in you. Because you know you're who you are and you're real. You'll trust in you. That's chasing the wind. I know this is that wisdom poetic literature that we're in right now in the Bible. And it's difficult. But it's stuff that needs to make us think. Let's keep looking. Now I want to go into something right here. I don't usually do this. Okay, this isn't me, but I want to do it because I prayed about it and thought about it. Chasing the wind is known as existentialism. How many's ever heard that word? Let me see your hand. Okay, now let's be real honest because I'll bring you up if you'd like me to. How many knows exactly what that means? You feel like you know what that means? Okay, a couple of you. You want to come up here and tell us what it means? No, sit down. What's wrong with you? He knew he was playing my bluff. He's been around the block. Here we go. I want to talk to you about it because that's what Solomon was dealing with. Existentialism. Now, what does that mean and what does that have to do with me? That's a 14-letter word, I think. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14-letter word. Come on. What is that? Let me talk to you about it just a minute. The popularity of existentialism was born into our culture at the end of World War II. Now stay with me, it's important. Listen to me. This is good, I think it's going to help us. It was born into our culture at the end of World War II, especially in Europe. Did you know Europe used to be just a haven for the gospel of Jesus Christ? For sound preaching, for people that loved God? Quite frankly, what we enjoy here in America, we owe it to the Europeans. For coming over here to these shores and setting up our government, and you see our buildings and all these things with God's word on it. This was a great place, Europe. But something happened after World War II. It happened during that time, and things were changing. Europe was left in shambles after Hitler. They were devastated, and it messed with their mind. All that men had pinned their hopes upon in government and in religion had been powerless to arrest the terrible chaos of World War II. What they believed in and who they trusted, it didn't matter. Keep moving. And at the end of it all, with their hopes literally shattered, they didn't know what to believe in. They didn't know who to trust. That's a bad place to be, friend. When you get in your life, and you don't know who you can believe in and who you can trust. Something can happen. It can go south. They said, why trust religion? It did nothing to stem the awful tide of the tyranny under Hitler's rule. Sometimes religion rubber stamped it, for crying out loud. But they certainly couldn't stem the tide of it and couldn't stop it. So why should I trust religion, they said. Secondly, why trust government? It was the very tool used to bring about such a powerful force. He used the government to destroy nations. And so these people were left devastated. So what can we trust? That was what they were saying. What can we trust? And who can we trust? Keep moving. The answer rang back throughout all of Europe. Here it is. Look at it. You can only really trust your own reactions to life. Are you hearing me? You can really only trust you. You can really only trust you. Let's keep going. Each person's reactions to events are real. So we can really trust, all we can really trust is our own reaction to events and our existence. Thus, existentialism. What this is saying is that I can, because I've been let down here, I can really only trust me. I can really only trust my existence and what goes on in my existence. And that leads to me living and doing anything I can please. I got to get gusto out of this life because this is all there is. Amen? And I can only trust me. And I want to tell you something. I feel like that's where America is headed. Hey, I'm not saying I like everything that government does and everything that religion does. But to just stand on your soapbox and criticize all the time and disrespect our president and disrespect our government, I think it's a pity and a shame. I think it's horrible. And quite frankly, if you want to go move to France, go ahead. You know, I don't mean to be ugly. But I'm telling you, we're Americans and we can speak out. That's okay. That's good. But to constantly deride and not trust government and not trust religion, what are you going to do good in your life? Say, why don't you try to go about making something better? Amen? Instead of criticizing. And I know that's not fancy preaching for some of you. I really don't care. I don't want to see America be like Europe. Do you? Yes or no? Well, then why don't we as Christians do the right thing? Let's praise the Lord this morning. Crying out loud. And that's what I'm learning. I'm seeing this from this book. You know, this attitude. Friend, I mean, honestly, I don't want to ask the question because I'm sure there'll be some smart aleck that'll answer it. That you could do a better job than President Bush. You could do a better job. Hey, I'm not saying there isn't somebody that could, but I think you're full of yourself if you think you could. Amen? A lot of this, I mean, it's not easy. I'm not saying we have a blind trust to government. Of course not. Or a blind trust to religion. Of course not. That's crazy. But on the other hand, don't cross over and go into just trusting you. Amen? Does that make any sense, or do we lose everybody? Okay, I hope we're on the same page. I tried. Let's keep moving. And I'm done. When I say I'm done except some serious Bible coming at you right here like a wind. Here it comes. If you want to trust you, put it up. That's fine. Pop it down. It's your choice. If you want to trust you, that's fine. Guess what? My mama came to the place where she's sitting in that recliner drunk as a skunk, and she watched Billy Graham on television, and Billy Graham said, you know what? You don't have to live in that mess you're living in. Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross. He cares for you. Your sins can be forgiven. You can have a new life. And you know what mama did? She said, where do I sign up? Amen? Now, if you want to stay in the chair, I'm not saying you're drunk, but if you want to stay in that chair, and if you want to, listen, if you want to stay in that chair and keep doing things your way and keep trusting in you, that's fine. But I want to tell you, there's an offer on the table. Amen? There's an offer on the table for your soul today. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. There's an offer down. Let's look at it. You can do what you want, but for those that might like not to trust in themselves, let's look a little further. Here we go. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Here we go. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Boy, I'm with David. Amen. I want to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's keep looking. Psalm 37. This is Bible. This is what the Bible says. I don't care. I mean, I do care, but if you feel something, that's, you know, that's why we need to pin it on the Bible here. Let's go back to the Bible. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the who? The Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. Let's keep moving. Psalm 91. This was my mother's favorite passage. One of them. And many of you know my mother, 11, 12 years ago, was murdered. And this passage of Scripture was underlined in all of her Bibles. Because my stepdad would tell my mother, I'm going to kill you while you sleep. And she'd have to somehow try to go to bed at night and still try to get rest. And these are things I didn't even know she was going through. I later, a counselor friend told me after her death, and also I found a diary that she kept. But she would read this. See, her trust, she just trusting herself wasn't going to cut it to get her a good night's sleep, was it? Say. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm watching you, Miss Ann. It's all right. You go ahead and lay that head on that pillow tonight. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. Isn't that good stuff? Isn't that better than what Solomon's doing? Say. Solomon can keep his mess. Let's keep looking. Proverbs 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. That's what I want, good understanding. Not a mind that's all screwed up. That's what I want. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own what? I'll just trust in me. I don't know. How many think I'm a nut sometimes? You probably think that I am. Okay? Don't you? Gotcha. But don't you think that sometimes, probably in the Clark house, I'm not trying just to be funny. Don't you think sometimes in the Clark house that woman has to put up with a lot? Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, the point is, I can't lean into my own understanding. I know where I'd be. I'd be a wreck. I'd be a mess. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Fear the Lord, amen. Depart from evil. Being wise in your own eyes, only trusting in you, is evil, and it's going to lead to evil. But if you trust in the Lord, look at this. It'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. I don't know what that navel thing means, but I like it. Amen? I think it might have to do with the umbilical cord or something. Isn't that it? I don't know. But I want to be connected to Him. Amen? I want that help. Let's keep looking. This is what the Bible says. And now look at what Jesus said. Don't trust in yourself. Here's what Jesus said. Look at it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you think Solomon had a troubled heart? Yes or no? Jesus says this. You believe in God? Say it with me. Believe also in me. Amen? Look at what he said in verse 6, just to make it plain English for us. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Why do we preach Jesus here? Why do we say that? You know why we say it? Because of that verse right there. And many, many, many verses just like it. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads are going to lead you to hell. All roads are going to lead you somewhere else. One way, one road, one truth, one life, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why we believe that. Verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus said, you believe in me, there's some great things going to happen in your life. I'm going to use you. You're going to have purpose in your life. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask according to the will of God, and it's God's will for it to be done, it's going to happen. That's what he's saying. If you love me, keep my commandments. I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he'll abide with you forever. You want to do it your own way? Come on, I want the Holy Spirit. Amen? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive. Because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Hallelujah. For he dwells in you, and he'll be in you. Praise God. This is the path I want to be on. Why? Look at what he says. Isn't this what Do you think Solomon had peace, yes or no? No. Here's what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I choose Jesus. Let's keep looking. We're almost done. Jesus said this. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. You want to go on your own? You want to trust in you? Everybody else has let me down, I'll trust in me. Jesus said, okay, that's fine, but you can't do a thing. That's not where I want to be. If a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, he's withered. And man gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I like that part, amen? That's where I want to live my life. Finally, this morning, this thought. You can never have eternal life by believing in you. I mean, this is almost irreverent. I will almost say something. If you really believe that much in you, then why don't you outside in the parking lot, not anywhere near me, why don't you tell people you're God? And why don't you have us pray to you? Okay? Men have done crazier things, ain't they? You know what I mean? That's what we call cults. Cults. Why don't you go start you a cult? Because that's what your thinking is. It's cultic. If you're trusting in you and not Jesus Christ, and you just believe in you, that's cultic. And let me tell you something. I know a little, not a lot about the Bible, but I know a little bit. I know one thing. You're in for a rude awakening. God doesn't share his glory with anybody. We sing, we praise holy, 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 sing holy, holy, holy to him because he's the only one that's holy. Just let it sink in. You can never have eternal life by trusting yourself. Here's what they said. I think it was Peter. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the chief of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen? The name of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. The Bible is not silent. It's clear as a bell on this issue. Verse 9. If you'll confess with your mouth, who? The Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of who? You? The Lord. Amen? Don't call on me. Call on him. You'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. A couple other verses. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, to please God. We come to Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You must have faith in Him and not in you. Solomon couldn't find it. He had lost his way. He thought work was all he had. Work was the best. And when he looked at it, he said, it ain't worth a dime. There's more to life than that. And I close with this verse. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Solomon said, he made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I thought about that verse a lot. What Solomon was saying, and he is right on here, God has put inside of you an eternity. He has put inside you a longing for God. He has put inside of you, listen to me, He's put inside of you something that wants to find God, that wants to figure out the beginning from the end. Guess what? You're never going to figure it out. Did you know that? Say, you think you're going to figure it all out on this planet, yes or no? You've got the Word of God, but you're not going to figure out how God did everything and how God's going to do everything. You're going to have to trust Him. And if you're waiting to figure it all out, that's not going to fly. You're going to have faith. He wants you to have faith inside of you. He can make you beautiful today. He can answer so many questions you have when you trust Him and you put your faith and trust in Him. He wants to come into your life today. I close with this image. Turn. Can you say that with me? Turn. One more time. Turn to Jesus Christ. Is your life just drip, nothing new, nothing better? I tell you what, you need your clock changed. Amen? I'm telling you, turn to Jesus Christ today. I hope you've got the message. I didn't know how to preach this. We just did the best we could. Let's stand together. Come on. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Hang in here with me a minute, if you don't mind. Let's be able to ask the Lord to bless and work in our heart what we've heard. Okay? If you just stand here with me. Lord, I pray that You'd help us now as we have listened. And Lord, You have got to please take the things I've said and somehow make sense to these folks here today. Because, Lord, even I'm confused with some of the things I've said. But, Lord, one thing You've nailed good for me is that I can't trust me. I can't trust in me. It's not all about me. It's about You. And I pray that message got out clear today. That there is a hunger in our soul, an emptiness that can never be filled with doing and getting and viewing and trusting anything else other than You. And I pray You'll feel that longing in someone's heart today, Father. And for us who are Christians, we're saved. We know You as our Savior. Help us, Lord, not to get off on some tangent, some rabbit trail, seeking satisfaction somewhere else. Oh, God. Draw us back to Yourself. Help us understand that it's all about You. And we can be totally content in You. Oh God. Change our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.